the Shusnarina Rav Shlita, Rav Kohn Shlita greeted me with a slightly untypical greeting this morning. He said to me, "A kosher and a fryless and Pesach." Most people say, "A kosher Pesach, you should have a kosher Pesach." And the truth is that everybody has a kosher Pesach. When you see what the wives are doing with all the spring cleaning, there's no way your house will not be kosher for Pesach. But might we forget that it's a Yom Tov and we have to enjoy it and be happy? So maybe it's more appropriate to say a Freilichen Pesach than a Koshen Pesach. When we had Purim a month ago, everybody was saying a Freilichen Purim, a Freilichen Purim. But sometimes things get a bit out of hand on Purim. And is it always as kosher as it should be? So the message is surely, you greet everybody to wish them a kosher Purim and a Freilichen happy Pesach. The four sons, I've been avoiding handouts a lot because they don't mix so well with bagels and smoked salmon, but I felt it's inevitable in this subject that we have to have something in front of us. And what you do have in front of you is simply the quotes from the Chumash relating to the reference to the four sons, or the proverbial four sons as it's headed, because there is an idea that all four sons are in one person at some stage of their lives. So we've got here the Pesukim from the Sefer Shemos and also Sefer Devarim, and it's a very frequent question to match up these Pesukim with what is actually written in the Haggadah. Because when you look at the Haggadah, the Pesukim applied to the four sons are not the same verses that are apparently described in the Chumash. So we'll start with that, not deal with that too much, but the general thesis of today is to look at why the Torah sees it fit to describe four different characters, because in Chinuch you've got to deal with each individual child as they come according to their attributes and abilities. So the first one, Lo yakisavo el haaretz asher yitena Hashem lochem kasher dibe ushmatem es avodah zos. That's from Shemos chapter 12, Chafov to Chafzayim, and then it says, "Vahayo ki yomru aleichem b'neichem," when those or they will say to you, "Mohavodah zos lachem." This is, in fact, the question of the Rasha in the Haggadah. The Rasha wants to reject. He despises all the hard work. His attitude is, "Well, I can be a good Jew. I don't have to go in through all these things like the Pesach and the Matzah and the Morrow. What do you need it for?" So the answer is given, "V'amartem," and you will say, and then it talks about the Pesach, the Passover, and we had the Magefas from Mitzrayim, the plagues, etc. In contrast, we go further down and we then see V'gadol v'incha v'yom aleima b'avozeh osa Hashem li b'teitim Mitzrayim. So that's not any question. And that is matched with the Sheinu De'olishol, because it doesn't say in the verse, "Your son will ask you." He is silent, so you will open up for him. And the Sheinu De'olishol, which is reproduced at the bottom of your page, will say b'avozeh, you will say to him, "Osa Hashem li b'teitim Mitzrayim." And then next on the list in Shmos Yud Gimel Yud Daled is Voyoki Isholcho Vincho Mochor Lemor, when your child tomorrow will ask you, "Mazos, what's this?" And this is matched to the Tom, traditionally called the simple son. And you will say to him, "Bechozet Yod Hotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim Beis Avodim." Well, then we got the Chochom. And then you've got this strange word again, mochor, which means tomorrow. And this is the question in Haggadah asked by the wise son, the Chochom. And then we've got quite a long shtick, which in the Haggadah is quite short. And it says, "V'amarzim levinchav odim ha'yin lefam b'Mitzrayim, etc." Hashem gave us signs and wonders against Paro, and He brought us out from there. And He commanded us to do all these statutes, liyiras Hashem elokeinu l'tov lanu kol ha'yomim, etc., etc. Quite a large piece. So that is attributed to the Chacham. And the question which is asked by many, many Mefarshim is, why is it that the Pesukim don't appear to match up? Because when you look at the Chacham, we say in the Haggadah, Lafato emolo kilchas ha-pesach, eim raftirinach ha-pesach avikomon. Well, it doesn't say anything of the sort in the whole shtick you've got there for the Chacham. With the Rosha, it says, Ma'avodah zos lochem, lefis oche asmen ha-klal, and you shall gnash his teeth, and you shall say, Ba'avodah zos Hashem li b'teisim v'metroim. Well, with the Rosha, we had a completely different answer. Ba'yukim ru alechem b'neichem, etc. V'amatem zevach Pesach. So that doesn't seem to match. Well, he asks, Ma'avodah zos lochem. So you might say, okay, well, any innocent bystander might ask, what is this that you are doing? Fine, we'll come to that. And then we got the Tom, okay, the Tom Bechozet Yod, we don't have such a problem with him because Bechozet Yod.
The first passage there, the second passage, he's just quoting the passage.
Yes?
How do you know it's the Russian?
Okay.
So
all right, I'll explain to you now.
The other one, Eschem.
Right. The Yomru Aleichem, it doesn't say he will ask you. V'hoyok Yomru Aleichem. And the Mephoshim explain that this Russia, he's not interested in the answer. His question is a rhetorical question, which is meant to be just a criticism. He said, I don't need all this. What do I want all the stress and pressure for? I just want to live an easy life. I believe in God. I'm a good Jew. I go to shul 3 times a year. Good enough. They will say, yeah, the other ones, or the last two, it says, we said by the Tom, or by the Chochom, they will ask. But the Russia is not interested in asking. Ah, but isn't Mo'avodah Zos Lachem a question? So the Torah is there saying, no, it's not a question. Ki Yomru Aleichem B'neichem Mo'avodah Zos Lachem. And then it says, V'amartem, it doesn't say V'amartem Lo, it doesn't say you will say to him, like it does maybe in some of the others. V'amartem, because really, you're not answering the Russia directly. He's at your Seder table. You'll not exclude him. You won't divorce him from your household. But nevertheless, you don't enter a debate with him. That is the message of this pasuk. That the Rosha is somebody who has to be dealt with in some form. You will teach him by example. You will give him an indirect rebuke, not necessarily a direct rebuke, but the difference between the Rosha and the others is that you are cautious. You've got to understand that if you mix a lot with the Rosha, you might contaminate yourself and your children. Be careful which guests you bring into your house. At the same time, you want to strike a balance. And it's interesting because I found this pasuk in Mishlei, in chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, which says, Al tan kasil ka'avalto pen tishvelo gam oto. The kasil, the fool, or the person who doesn't really want to know, and the Rosha is like a fool. The Tom, we call a simple person, we don't call him a fool in that sense. But we have here either or. You might call the Tom the kasil. Because what the pasuk there does is it says, Al tan kasil kavalta pen tishvela ogamoto, which means don't answer the fool to his foolishness, because you might then become equal to him. But then the next prophet says, Aneka sil kavalto, answer the fool according to his foolishness, penye chochem beinov, because otherwise he might think he is wise in his own eyes. So what's Shlomo HaMelech doing here in Mishlei? Isn't he contradicting himself? For the one moment he's saying, answer the fool, and the next stage he's saying, don't answer the fool, or the other way around. Why is that? Because the fool might be the Rosha or the Tom. We don't really know. Or we don't even know about the Sheino de Alishol. The child who doesn't know yet now how to ask, is it because he simply doesn't know? Or is it because he's foolish? Or is it because he's been left out in the wild and he hasn't been given the ability? So we're not quite sure. So the message which Shlomo HaMelech says is, strike a balance. Watch out when you're dealing with a fool. Don't answer according to his foolishness because you don't want to be contaminated. On the other hand, answer him. So that's not a contradiction. Because we find with the four sons that if there is evil in the person, then you step back. You're more careful. If, yes.
In the Haggadah, the only one of the sons who you've got the psychological analysis of is the Rosha.
Well,
yeah, he says here, the moment of a cloud, but none of the other sons does it go into such a detail as to what the analysis is of his rishus, yeah. And it says there,
yes.
That's which is just what you mentioned. What is it, Tom?
Well, yeah. We might find psychology in the others, yes. As well. Yes,
but
agreed.
There's nothing written.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting, we found this word mochor, tomorrow, which was by the Chochom and the Tum, not with the others. What is the idea of mochor? It's that the next day, after they've been through the experience of Seder night and reflect on what's been happening, they'll be asking, what was it all about? And in spite of the questions that might have, it suddenly will stick. Sorry, you had your hand up already a while. Yes.
Would you be able to, would you say that we can compare the Rosha to the modern day atheist who denies any spirituality and such?
Yes. Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes something very interesting in his Haggadah, because in the Haggadah we say that Afato Hakeyas Shinov, gnashes teeth. What does it mean, gnashes teeth? We're not talking about blowing his teeth out with a punch. That make him grind his teeth. Make him feel frustrated. He excludes himself, so we exclude him. But Rabbi Avadia says, the mitzvahs are the food, the spiritual food. When we do all the Pesach and the Matzah and the Morah, it's to go through the motions to live through what our ancestors lived through, and that's part of the exercise. But if we say, oh, I don't need all this, I'm a good Jew, I just commemorate it with a tick on the calendar, says Rav Avadia, it's like the person who says, I don't need to eat food, I can just live on vitamin pills. The vitamin pills will nourish me, I don't need anything else. So we say to the Rosh Hashanah, then you don't need any teeth, because you don't need to eat food. But who can live a life just on vitamin pills? It's impossible to bear it. You have to have some nice food, even if it's not kigel and shulot. But you need to eat something. You need a slice of bread. You like to put your teeth into an apple. So that is the food of Yiddishkeit, to live through what our ancestors lived through, to have that morah, to have the charoses, and the crunchy matzah, and the korban pesach, or the afikoman. All this is part of living the experience. The Yerushalmi says something very interesting. When you asked me just now in your question about the atheist, because I'm talking about the Rosh who's at the table, who says, yeah, I believe I'm a good Jew, but I don't need all this. The Yerushalmi says something quite remarkable and startling. The Yerushalmi says on the Haggadah, on the Rosh Hashanah, what do you need all this service for? What do you need all this bother for? That you have to cause us this bother every year. Because he excluded himself, you say, but to that man, he did not do. That's the Gemara Yerushalmi. La'oso ish is regarded as the founder of Christianity. So, oso ish, that man whom we do despise because he created a kind of reform. Because he was basic, and his followers were saying, well, throw out of the window all these rituals. Don't bother with Pesach, Matzah, Morah, although they got the Easter eggs or something, or the hot cross buns. So, forget about all the ritual. Don't worry about the 39 melachos. Don't worry about Taras HaMishpacha. Forget about shatnas. Forget about kashrus. You can eat whatever you want, right? Just be a good person. That is throwing out of the window. That is the atheist. Even though they will say they believe in God, the atheist is the one who rejects the Torah, full stop. Because if one rejects the mitzvahs, that is atheism as well. So it's interesting how the Yerushalmi singles this out as a reference to Oso or Ish, but Mitzrayim lo haya roi legol misham le'olam, that those people who were rejecting the ritual of Yiddishkeit would not have come out of Egypt, and four-fifths did not come out. So, interesting point, thank you very much. But we spoke about mochar, the word tomorrow, but it's people who live by their experience, because our emunah is based on our experience. And the one night of the year, or the two nights of the year, when we renew our faith, when we renew our emunah, is Seder night. Based on what? Based on our experience of seeing the miracles and seeing what Hashem did. So we've got the idea of Pesach, Matzah, and Moroh stressed as the three things to articulate. And without those, you haven't done your duty of the Igad Tolavincho. And when we suffered, we didn't really know what it was all about. When we were in the slavery, we didn't quite appreciate it, why this was being done to us. And only afterwards, hence the word mochor. So we got the idea of tzaddik v'ralo, the righteous person to whom bad things might be happening, because eventually everything turns out for the best. So that's the idea of the mitzvahs of Pesach. The Rosh is saying, why so many? Maybe one is enough. I just have a meal. I'll celebrate. I'll have my Kneidler soup. I'll have my Kegel. I'll have my Chulen. But that's not what's enough. We are influenced by our actions. We are influenced by all the mitzvahs that we do to make us into better people. And what do we say to the Chochom? We talk the Chochom in the Haggadah, Kehilchos HaPesach. Now the question, coming to our original question, was why are the Pesukim different? You saw for the Chochom this whole shtick about Lomar Televincha Avodim Hayinu Veitein Oso Samosim, but the truth is, the Maharal talks about this, Avabanel, the Kliyoko, we've already dealt with Avodim Hayinu. We started off in our Haggadah with Avodim Avinu, so we said it already. But what do we still have to say to the Chochom? There is something which comes in Pasuk Chaf Dalad there, almost towards the end of the Chochom's piece, by Saveinu Hashem La'asos Es Kol HaChukim O'Eile. You have to do the mitzvahs. You have to go through that ritual. And the Chochom says, he opens up in an amplified way, Mo Eidus V'Chukim V'Mishpotim Asher Asilu Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. He's Eschem. Some ask, why does he say Eschem? Surely he's a bit like the Rosha, because the Rosha says to you, Lochem. But Eschem is with you, not to you. And he doesn't divorce himself from the others, because he says Hashem Elokeinu, our God. So the Chochom is very different to the Rosha, even though you might try to pick some similarities. And there, Vayetzaveinu Hashem La'asos Es Kol HaChukim O'Eile L'Tovlonu Kol HaYomim. It's the mitzvahs which keep. So we say to the Chochom, you have to know about the mitzvahs. It's not enough just to be an intellectual. Remember, the Chochom is not necessarily the tzaddik. The Chochom might be also drifting, by the way. We have to watch him. He's a great intellectual, and he wants his children to go to the top universities. Oxford and Cambridge might be wonderful places in order to give yourself a parnosa. But what influence will your children have if you send them away and they don't have a from chevra? Then maybe when they come to your Seder night in a year or two, they might say to you, and those children who then are questioning, what do you need all the ritual for? Alright, they might have a small kippah on their heads and say, I'm a good Jew. But their children will come home afterwards and say, Mazos, what's this? What do I need this for? Mazos means, I don't understand what you're doing this for, because you're not keeping the Torah. And their children eventually will come home, and they will be the Sheinu De'alisha, because they won't even be able to say Mazos. They'll have no idea whatsoever. And those are the ones who might end up marrying out. So we have to go through this ritual with the Chochom and keep those mitzvahs. But I'm telling you, there's mussar we're giving to the Chochom as well. Remember, I told you, he's not necessarily the tzaddik. Some say the Tom is the tzaddik, because Yaakov Avinu is described as a Tom. Ish Tom Yoshev Oholim. And the Tom, the simple person, has a simple emunah, pashuto. He doesn't require any complicated thesis. He asks what it is, Mazos, and Yaakov Avinu asked Mazos, remember, when the girls were switched, Rachel and Leah. He asked Lavan, Mazos, what's this? When he realized that he was married to Leah, not to Rachel. So that's the tzaddik. But the chacham, there is a danger about the chacham with his intellectual attitude. He wants to go into a pilpul. And without criticizing the creme de la creme, this might even apply to the top yeshiva bachrim. They want to have a pilpul. They love learning the ketzos and the ritva and the rashba and making a pilpul. But if chas v'shalom there's a fire in the place on Shabbos, what do? They go to the shelf and they take out the Mishnah Berurah to see what they should do. Mm-hmm. What is the first thing every yeshiva bachra has to know? Know the halachas. Start off knowing what are the do's and don'ts of Shabbos and of Kashrus. Not that you afterwards make a pilpul about it and have to take the sefer off the shelf when there's an emergency. So the mussus of the chacham is, it's very nice pilpul and you get the geschmack of Torah, and you might find learning halachas is a bit more boring than the geschmack pilpul, but that's what the end result is. You have to know how to keep your mitzvahs. And that when you do come home, bein hazmanim, and you see things which are not quite right, know how to correct people, and not just in an angry sort of way. There are people who are sensitive, and just say, ask in the form of a question, honoring one's parents. And the chacham, how did he spend his bein hazmanim? Not how did he spend his yeshiva zman, but how is he behaving at home? Is he helping his mother with all the hard work in preparing for Pesach? So the chacham is getting musa here. There is psychology. You said there's psychology for the Rasha. My own personal opinion is there's more psychology for the Chacham. Because we're giving a Chacham a gentle tap on the knuckles, saying, are you behaving the right way? Because we all think when we enter the Seder that the wonderful guy is the Chacham and the Rasha is the wicked guy. So you get these pictures in the various Haggadahs that the Chacham with a long white beard and the Rasha showing the racing results. You know, but really, instead of stereotyping them, it might be that the Chacham is the one who needs more Musa than everybody else. Because at least with the Chacham, he will listen to you. So you have a dialogue with him. The problem with the Rasha is you haven't really got a dialogue because he doesn't want to know. So how do you deal with him? So with him, it's a bit more discreet. You will give it indirectly. So hence the Pasuk doesn't say with the Rasha, Yomru A'elov. This is really Musa for us, what we say. But nevertheless, he's at your table. So the Baal HaGodah takes this on board. Vayomru ki aleichem, that the Pasuk we quoted was not speaking to the Rasha. But when we look in the HaGodah itself, look at the bottom of the page, it does say ve'emar lo, and say to him. So the Baal HaGodah is nevertheless taking an idea that the main message, you do not speak to him, but you have to say something. He's at your table, and there is a chance you might bring him back to Yiddishkeit. So you say, Bavu ze osa Hashem li b'teitim Yitzrayim, a discreet form of tochocho, li v'lo, which is dropping a hint. Because funnily enough, that verse you say to him, Bavu ze osa Hashem li b'teitim Yitzrayim, you also say to the Sheino de'alishal. The same verse. Are you labeling the child who can't ask questions as a Rasha? Chas v'shalom, he might turn out to be a Rosh Hashiva. But you're giving him the same posuk. Why is that? Because it can work either way. You're still showing by example. We are having these mitzvahs. We are performing. My parents got married in 1946. And only 2 years later, they had a bit of a crisis in the family. Because an aunt of my father passed away quite young, and an aunt and her husband, and they were in Canada, and so their children, they had two children, were left as orphans in Canada, so it was inevitable that they had to come back to the family in England. So it was decided that one of them would be with my parents, and this was a 16-year-old girl, and my parents were just newly weds. And she had a brother who went also to another one in the Mishpacha somewhere, more distant, a grandmother's sister. And she came to England and she was going to meet people and was socializing and going to discotheques and so on. Jewish, of course. But my parents were in a bit of a quandary. What should they do? Do they say to her, no, this is the way you're going to do it? And my mother asked her uncle, Dina Lea, suppose, and Zecharia Lebracha, what do we do? And he said, you don't say anything. The fact that he's meeting her around the corner with his car on Shabbos, don't say a word. It won't help. What you can do is show a nice Jewish home, a warm, comfortable and friendly home, and you will see something will stick. And this is what they did. The idea of show what you're doing. This is what happened. This is what we do. Take it or leave it, but you are one of us. You are around our table. Something sticks. And something did stick with her. She got married Jewish. She joined the United Synagogue in Ilford. The children went to Cheder. They're now married. Their children go to Cheder. It carries on. But her brother, who went to my grandmother's sister, where things were not quite so warm as they should be. They were traditional, but it wasn't so warm and Heimish. He married out. So the message we have to give to these four sons is, when we can directly challenge them, yes. And then we stuff them like an ox and give them the halachas when they're a chokom and when they're intellectuals. When it's the Rasha or somebody who doesn't keep and somebody who denies the faith, we still show what we're doing because something sticks. And we open them up. So you've got the same pasuk for the Rasha and for the Sheino de Alisha. Amazing bit of psychology there as well. So we got the psychology really for all the four sons. There's some interesting stories. Yes?
Go on an extra 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
No, go on longer.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't stop when people look at their watches. I stop when they start shaking them. But Shimon Schwab from the Yekish Killer of New York, he noticed that when you say the prelude to the four sons in Agada, it says Baruch Hamokom, Baruchu, Baruch Shenasan Torah Yisrael, and the word Baruch is mentioned four times. Keneged Abar Bonim Divrei Torah. So he says Hamokom. We refer to Hashem as Hamokom. Usually, when we refer to Hashem as Hamokom, it's usually in a sad context. You know, we're all cheerful here. It's Yom Tov, and we're sitting around the table with the family around us. That's not meant to be a sad context. He says, you know, when you say Hamokom, when you go to a shiva, you say Hamokom. Hamokim Menachem Eschem. There's a prayer when one's worried about Panos, Hamokim Yimalech Yisrono. Or when we say Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, we say Hamokom Yerachem Aleihem. When there's times of sorrow, when there's times of trouble. So why is it in the Seder we've got times of trouble? When you look at the four children, every single one of them should be regarded as a blessing, not as something which is sad. But he says, every child, even the Chochom, can create problems, Targil Bonim, and challenges for the parents as to know how to bring them up. And he says, you never give up with any child. You have to validate them. You have to give them something which makes them feel good and makes them feel right. And he brings this down from the idea of when Yaakov talks about the blessing of his sons, of Yosef's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He says, Daddy, you know, you got your hands mixed up the wrong way with your brachas, and he says, Yodati bin Yodati, Gami Huyu Huyi Yad Godol. He will also be great. But this one, Yigdal Mimeno, so he picks out the child who is looked upon as the inferior one, and he tries to elevate him. And that child becomes more elevated. Look at the kids who you were mixing with at school and how some of them turned out. And you thought, you know, some of them would be leaders and some of them are just nebuchs. And it often happened the other way around. I won't give examples. But what is it that makes the child the character that he is? Rabbi Lord Sachs talks about the athletes who win the Olympic Games or the Nobel Prize winners. He says they never ask Moha Avodah Azos Lachem, what do I need to do this for? They work for it and they succeed by hard effort. And then there's another idea. Yeah, he quotes Isidore Rabi, who was a Nobel Prize in Physics. He was asked, how did you become such a famous scientist? He said, other kids are asked by their mother, what did you learn in school today? He said, when I came home, my mother said to me, did you ask a good question today? Because Yiddishkeit is all about questions. We encourage questions. We encourage challenges. He says, that's what made me. And then there's another idea. If one sits by and does nothing, and one says, I'm a good Jew, there's an interesting thing said by someone called Edmund Burke, who was an Irish politician, philosopher, who lived from 729 to 1797. He says, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. What is the lesson of the four sons? We can't sit by and do nothing. When the Rosha is at our table, we can't ignore him. We have to show effort. But at the same time, we can't debate with him, because if we do, we might contaminate ourselves and we might contaminate our children. So how do we do it in a subtle way? We show by example, and something sticks. So that's an idea brought by Rav Shimon Schwab. And Rav Pesach Krohn talks about when he was young, his father died at an early age, and the Maggid, Rav Shalom Shvadron, used to visit them at their Seder table, and he knew that the Maggid wanted to eat his afikoman by midnight, or 1 o'clock, whenever midnight is. And so he wanted the Seder to rush itself, but all the children at the table were asking lots of questions, and they were saying their shticks, which they picked up at school, reading from their exercise books, and they wanted to have something, and he was worried that it was getting very late, and he knew that Rav Shimon Shvadron had never ever eaten his afikoman after midnight, and he started to apologize to him. And Rav Shalom said to him, listen, your mother's a widow. She lives for her children and for her grandchildren. If I rush the Seder, I'm going to take away her joy. I'm going to deprive her of something. And if I do that, I'm doing an Issur Min HaTorah. That is a prohibition on biblical law. Whereas eating afikoman, okay, it's important, but it's a Din Darabbanon. And I think it's more important to give her that joy and to give her the nachas which she's getting, and she's a widow and she's got enough sorrows, and they ate their afikoman afterwards. And the lessons of Pesach come out a lot when we talk about telling the Chochem about the halachos, and it's not just Hilchos Pesach. It's halachos generally. We've spoken about modern manners and not to push in the bus queue. And what is the Chochem knowing how to relate well to others? And we've said this before, and it's worth saying it again, that when the Talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanta asked him, Rabbi, what chumra shall we keep when we bake our matzahs? What's the most important thing? Because we've got the Hilchos HaPesach. He said the most important halacha is not making sure you keep to the 80 minutes and drying the machines and rushing from the kneading to the oven. He said, make sure that you treat that widow nicely, the lady who's bringing up your water from the well up the hill. You know, don't say hurry up, because you get excited and you get annoyed when you're baking those matzahs. Make sure you treat her properly. Be a mensch. And that is an important halacha. So we're saying to the Chochom, yes, you're meticulous in all your duties, in your Bein Odom L'Mokom, Mokom, but make sure you do your Bein Odom L'Chavero as well. There was a Bojina Rebbe, also told by Rav Pesach Krohn, in Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, who had a little bit of flour left to make matzahs. And the question was, whom should he give these matzahs to? Well, obviously, the grown-ups have the duty, min haTorah, to eat the matzah. And the children, you know, mitzvah chinuch, but they don't have such a duty to eat matzah. So he was paskening that the adults should get the few matzahs they managed to bake in the concentration camp. And there was a woman who came up to him. Her husband was already killed by the Nazis. And she said to him, Rebbe, I'd like you to give some matzah for our children. And he hesitated. She said, look, we will probably be killed here. They have a chance of survival. If we eat the matzahs ourselves and they don't, how will they keep them Pesach in future years when we are liberated from the concentration camp? Our future is in our children. As Paro's was told by Moshe Rabbeinu, Bina Oreinu Vizkoneinu Neilech. The first ones he mentioned were our kids. Bavoneinu Vivnoseinu Kichag Hashem Lonu. The emphasis is on the children. Veishiv Leiv Ovos Abonim Veleiv Bonim El Avosom from Malachi. The emphasis has to be on the children. And that's what Seder Night's all about. They are our future. And there are different kinds. And Chanuch La Lefi Darko, each child is according to their aptitude. So there we've got it. We've spoken about the Chochom, when we have to stuff Halochas like an ox and tell him how to be a mensch, that he should not be one who is going off the derech. Even a Bocha who's learning in Ponovitch Yeshiva, he requires some Musa. He requires some Tochocha. The Rosha, who we say we keep at our table, but don't let him influence, he gets the message indirectly. The Tom, who might be the Tzaddik, might be simple, but he's getting the basis of Emunah, a simple message. And the Shoden, Elishol, who's given a gentle push, you're not giving him any rebuke, because then he might walk away, but you show him the warmth and the comfort of a Jewish household. That gives us, Emunah Hashem, not only a kosher Pesach, but also a Freilich of Pesach. Chakosha v'sameach. Yeah.